All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had some tennis action get underway earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you playing some tennis. We had Worlds for League of Legends this morning as well. We have a big 12-game NBA main slate, our first like big slate of the season, with already like plenty of news and stuff going around. So pretty interesting to kick off the season that way. That's all right. We also have a 3-game NHL slate later this evening and a college football showdown. So should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We did have a number of questions coming prior to the show. So we will start there and then kind of see where we go from there. All right. First question, why aren't there any projections for the Champions League slate today? Is it because I'm on the ultimate free trial? Thanks. No, that's not why you're not seeing them. We only support EPL, the English Premier League, for soccer at the moment. We do not support other leagues, including Champions, at this time. So just be on the lookout for EPL. We only support classic slates and not showdowns. So that's what's going on there. All right, next question. Does Portfolio Plus automatically use contest-specific ROI to guide the lineups that are selected? Let's say I create a custom metric such as weighting ROIs for multiple contests. Is there a way to tell Portfolio Plus to use that metric to select lineups? Good question. So Portfolio and slash or Portfolio Plus, well, basically Portfolio uses SaberScore to optimize lineups. Portfolio Plus uses the contest-specific ROI. Now, you cannot tell Portfolio Plus to use a different metric in order to pick the lineups. Like, the ROI is like the source of truth, we call it, where it's like, okay, hey, this is the number that we're aware of. We want to build the best portfolio kind of around this number. You can't change that like source number. It's only ROI for Portfolio. Now, as far as what you can do in this scenario, you're like, hey, I have a custom metric, you know, I want to use it. What are my options, right? You basically have two options. Number one is switch to uniques one, and then just sort by your custom metric. You know, you can just straight sort by it, you know, change the rank by column. Number two would be that you can use Portfolio Plus. But what you can do is you can basically filter out lineups based on your custom metric. So you're like, hey, you know, if my lineups have a low value according to the custom metric that I'm building, I don't want to consider ones below this threshold or something like that, right? Okay, you would create a filter. You would put your custom metric on the left, greater than or less than, and then put it in like a value, right? That would send those lineups to the trash so they're not even being considered. This is like our preferred way that we recommend people do this. It's like, use your custom metrics to filter down to what you think is a more viable pool, and then let Portfolio have the final say as to, okay, so from your viable pool, these are the best ones to play together. That's how we recommend doing it. You could totally do it the other way where you sort by it directly, but you're going to have to use uniques in order to do that. All right. Next question. What's the best way to manipulate a low owned player's projection to get the exposure you want? Sometimes I'll say 5% min on a 1% owned player and Saber still won't give me any of that player. after I hit apply or recrunch? Good question. So the question is like, hey, you know, there's a player who has low ownership for today. Maybe it's Giannis, right? He's a little bit lower owned probably because his salary is like really high. You know, you set a minimum, maybe the builder is not giving it to you. What do you do? In this case, what I would do is I would increase his projection. Now I would start with a, I don't know, it's going to depend on like the guy's projection. You know, like if I do a 2-point projection boost to a lower projected player, you know, say I do Dylan Brooks, right? Okay. Boosting him 2 points is going to have like a really big impact, but Giannis, who's at 54 points, you know, it might not have the same impact. So you're going to have to do a little bit of trial and error, a little bit of like adjusting, rebuilding to figure it out. But basically what I would do, right, I would probably run a build and just see what his, maybe even his pool exposure, right? What is his default pool exposure? Maybe we're not getting that much of Giannis. I run a build. Maybe his pool exposure is 5%. Okay. Now, maybe I want to be double the field on him. Okay. I set his minimum to 14. It can't meet it. I rebuild my lineups, still having trouble meeting it. What then I would do is I would either come in here, maybe just start with like 1-point boosts, do a 1-point boost to him, rebuild again. I would check two things. One, what is my new exposure to him? What is my new pool exposure to him? The reason for that is because if you go from like having him in 5% of your pool to like 50% of your pool, you might have went like a little bit overboard with your adjustment. So I think that pool number is going to give you like a good kind of measuring stick of like, hey, how big of an impact did the change I make end up having? Yeah. And you can kind of analyze it from there. But I think that's the right approach, and that should work in like most cases where you do 1-point adjustment, rebuild, check exposures, 1-point adjustment, rebuild, check exposures. And you shouldn't find yourself in a situation where you've over-adjusted because you're adjusting, running, checking, basically until you find the sweet spot. All right. Good question there. Say you come in here, right? It's probably better to have your templates turned off. If you turn off your templates, or maybe you have one on by default, right? Okay, then what I could do is I could turn it off and then open a new build. Now, when I do that, I should get this lineup card. I can just click on the lineup card and start building. You know, I want to go to my point guards, okay? You know, maybe I want to build a core. You know, maybe I want to build around like John Morant, and you know, maybe there's like another guard I want to build around, and maybe it's going to be Derek White. Okay. And, you know, from there, right, it's going to basically use these two players and build you your like remaining pool of lineups basically around them. You know, so you can come in here, you can edit this. You can build lineups straight from here, you know, with this build lineups button when you're in it. And that should allow you to at least start building a lineup. And then maybe you just let Saberson build out the rest of the lineup for you from there. And I'm just going to remove these guys. All right. When downloading your entries, do you guys suggest leaving the auto-generated groups? Mine auto-generate a group for each contest. Okay, so the lineups will generate a group for each contest if you have on this bottom template, okay? This is the one we recommend. However, it's not always perfect for every use case, you know? If you're going to set a lot of min-max exposures, I think it is better to use the middle one, the direct fill one. Now, some people, maybe you're playing, you know, 520 maxes. Some people like to run the same 20 lineups across all 5 contests. In that case, I would use the top one. This one will put all of your contests into one group and will set your number of lineups to whatever the max entries you have in a single contest is. So you're playing 520 maxes. It's going to do 20 lineups, duplicate them five times. If you have five contests, 20 maxes, direct fill is going to give you 100 lineups, one unique lineup for each entry. One group per contest is going to give you five groups of 20 lineups. So however you want to see it, if none of those suit you, right, you can even build your own logic. You know, we have the ability to create your own templates as well. But we generally recommend the one group per contest one. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. There's others at your disposal. But I think that's a really strong option for most people. All right. Next question. Spoke to you briefly. Can you explain the NBA late swap if I just need one tab open? Yeah, absolutely. So let's see. Hold on. I'm going to pull this up from yesterday. All right. So this is a late swap that I ran yesterday. So when the slate starts, right? So say I'm in my build one, okay? And I'm in my build one, slate starts, right? So what I want to do is I want to click the refresh projections icon, and then I want to open up a swap build. So I think I can do this. So I'm going to unlock the second game. All right. So when the game is unlocked, I think I can actually do this from the contest tab. No. Okay. It's fine. So basically, let's say slate starts, right? I open up my late swap. So now I'm in this swap build. All right. So let's say there's three games on the slate. Right, there's another game after Golden State and the Lakers. So I open up my swap, I run my late swap. Now, after this game starts, and let's say I want to swap for the third, you know, hypothetical game that we have going on, I do not need to open up a new swap. Instead, what I can do is I can continue to use the same swap build that I already opened. All I need to do is after this game starts, I'm on West Coast time. So this would be starts at 7 p.m. At 7:01 p.m., what I need to do is I need to come in here, click the refresh projections icon. This updates the time in SaberSim, okay? What will happen is the players in this game will then get locked. The players in the third game will remain unlocked, and then I can just I can use the rebuild swaps option, and it will only adjust the players who are not locked at that point. So it's basically locking the new players in and then rebuilding your swaps. So you can use one swap build the entire night. You do not need to open up a new swap build over and over. All right. Good stuff there. Next question. Can you walk through playback so we can see an example of how to extract key takeaways from last night's games? Yeah, absolutely. So let me switch back here. All right, getting Saber back up. Jerry said, makes sense. Appreciate the info. Yeah, no problem. You guys are great helping new people figure out how to do this. Appreciate that. Yeah, happy to help. Ask any questions you want. All right, getting back to this one. So back to yesterday, two gamer. Okay. Uh-oh. Might need to switch one more time. Okay, one sec. Okay, let's try this again. All right, so let's say yesterday I played the sharpshooter, right? $3, 20 max. Man, these aren't in. Okay. I don't know if we're going to be able to do flashback for yesterday. Let's check a showdown real quick. It looks like our flashback process isn't working perfect yet. Just like beginning of the season hiccups. Okay, showdown works. Study some showdown. All right, so I'm going to go look at the flagship showdown from yesterday. All right, so somebody asked me this actually earlier today. They're like, hey, I'm on this screen, but I don't see any like user info or anything like that. All right, to get to the users. So right now you're on the leaderboard, which is this leaderboard icon. Switch over to the little person, which is users. Okay, this will pull up all the user information. Now, what I would do is, it's going to depend how you want to break this up. Let's say you played this contest, right? But let's say you only put in 10 entries. What I would do is I would always set entries greater than or equal to whatever you enter. That way you're looking at people doing similar stuff. And then I would sort by sim ROI, okay? So we're sorting sim ROI high to low. I'm trying to get a sense for how this contest plays, okay? Now, what's really interesting to me is two things. Number one, dupes are super high, okay? Really, really high. 107, 193, 297, 119, 151, right? Very, very high duplicates, even for the top sim ROIers. Now, the other interesting thing is that this user who's like the top sim ROIer, they played like completely opposite, completely opposite. They played very, very low average dupes, very, very high uniques. Now, there's two things I see with this strategy. Number one, they sacrificed a ton of projection in order to be able to do this. Number two is this is a super high variance strategy because you can see their actual ROI on the day was negative 89%. So they lost like 90% of their entry fees. So this is like a strategy where when it works, you know, you have a really good chance of winning a large sum as opposed to all these other users who are going to chop up first place with a lot of other people. So very, very high variance strategy, high risk, high reward. The builder seems to like it. And if you got the bankroll to weather the swings here, that seems like a really good strategy. But this is just like another example of like, hey, there's kind of more than one way to win. You can come at this from different angles and you could still be a high sim ROI player, right? These two users at the top, one of them had a, you know, very low negative actual ROI. One of them had a very high negative actual ROI with different average dupes, different sim average scores, different salaries. You know, this user sacrificed a ton of salary in this scenario. So just like some ideas here, another thing you could do, you can go see what stands they took, right? You can use a plus icon on a user, open up the projections tab. It shows this player's exposures, right? Their captains, their utilities, what kind of stacks they ran. You could be more specific. Okay, well, what kind of 5-1s did they run? What kind of 4-2s? Laker 4-2s or Golden State 4-2s, right? Which team was the 4? Be careful here just a little bit because let's say you do two players at once, all these exposures go away. The other thing to be aware of is that even if I'm on one player and if I go to another contest without turning this off, I might break it. So let's say I go to the quarter jukebox now. All right, the jukebox is loading. Great. I go over to the leaderboard. I can't see anything. You know, hey, where did the leaderboard go? Well, it's because we are still looking for that other user in the other contest. This is actually another problem, right? Okay, hey, there's like a cutoff filter on, but when I pop it up open, I can't see anything. You have to have a filter. So just do something super simple. My projection greater than zero. Once you do that, you'll be able to see. It'll just say filter. You turn this off. All of a sudden, the leaderboard loads. Why? Because we turned off the filter that was in the fadeaway for that other user who apparently doesn't have lineups in this contest. There's some ins and outs there. This will get redesigned eventually here, but for right now, there's things you need to be aware of with flashback and studying. All right, next question. When I run a sim for, say, 50 lineups, it will give me lineups that aren't the highest Saber score. If I open up all 500 lineups, many will have really high Saber scores, but aren't in my pool of 50. Okay, so a couple things with this one. Number one, I think this is likely related to using portfolio diversity. Okay, and we'll talk about this. I'll show it here. So let's just run a build, 500 lineups. And let's create a group with 20. And we'll kick this off. All right. So we're just letting this build run. While this runs, we can answer this question. Should you reapply GeoMean to late swap builds? So honestly, I just want to be clear. I think this is a good question for like two game slates, right? But probably not so much like any type of main slate for today. So just for anybody watching, I wouldn't be using this for, you know, the slate today, but I would be using it. I think it's viable for like the two gamer yesterday, right? It's probably a lot of dupes. If you're gonna late swap, this is a hard question. Me personally, I wouldn't do it. If I had it on pre-slate, you know, what I'm trying to do basically, like in a scenario like yesterday, is, you know, the first game, well, I think the first game was like either in overtime or double overtime by the time the second game started. You know, I'm just trying to either help my lineups get to the top or like recoup as like much money as possible at that point. And I don't really want a GeoMean filter to hinder the builder's ability to give me swaps that can help me make more money. And I think based on like actual ownership and assumptions that like the builder is, or things a builder is learning about, one, the contest that you're in, and two, how the actual first game is playing, I think you can make some very smart decisions where you might not need the GeoMean filter anymore anyways. So I am for turning it off. I could see myself agreeing with a reason for leaving it on. It's kind of preferential, but me personally, I would probably be turning it off. So I hope that helps. All right, getting back to this one with the Saber scores. So what happened here, we ran a build, okay? Diversifier ran. All right, so right now, if I open this up, right? These lineups, because I don't have an entry file uploaded, it's using Portfolio, not Portfolio Plus, and Portfolio optimizes based on Saber score. Now, if I look here, my Saber scores are not in order, okay? So the reason that they're not in order is because the portfolio diversity doesn't prioritize highest to lowest Saber scores. What it does is it uses Saber score, but then it looks at the lineups and how they performed in The Sims. And it says, which of these lineups best complement each other? So like in this scenario, the builder has basically determined that playing this 99% Saber score lineup is better than playing the 173% Saber score first. So like, basically this is saying that lineup that these two lineups, the 169 and the 99, complement each other the best. The 173 should be played after those two. And then the 115 should be played before the 161. This is the portfolio diversifier working. And what you'll notice, okay, like we go into your exposures. Okay, like our highest exposure is PJ Washington. He has like crazy value because they mispriced him. So here we have three players over 60%. We have five players over 40%. Okay, if we go to Unique's one, and we just go to straight Saber score, we're going to see more concentrated exposures. Okay. So we said five players over 40. Here we have 5 players over 60%, right? So these exposures get a little bit more concentrated when you just use Saber score high to low, but the diversifier works to spread out your exposures and to help give you like a better overall kind of group of lineups that complement each other the best. So that's what the portfolio diversifier is doing. If that didn't make that much sense, we do have a good tutorial here. If you go to help, go to SaberSim tutorials, using the portfolio diversifier. This breaks it down as well. And you can hear from one of our other coaches talk about it. So I just wanted to call this video out to go along with my answer here. And then the other thing, right, as I was checking this, the portfolio is using 43 players in the player pool. The Unique's one Saber score was only using 38. So this is adding a little bit more players to your player pool as well. All right, next question. For contest selection, is there a way to save a filter that will only allow me to see the Saber Sims recommended contests? Also, does the criteria change sport to sport? Good question. Somebody actually requested this a little bit ago, like a week or so ago. I let the team know about it. I think it makes a lot of sense to, you know, based on like the recommendations, to have something that kind of gets you to like the baseline. What you kind of need to do is like just like start with the baseline and then kind of open it up from there, right? So the recommendations are sorting effective entrance high to low. And then it is sorting fee less than $3 to start. And then I'm going to say, and greater than zero. So effective entrance high to low, fee less than $3, your top prize equal to your wager for the day. So maybe you're playing $100, right? Okay, I want to set this greater than or equal to 100. And then I want to start with contests that have an effective entrance of 300 or more. Okay, so this would be my baseline. This is where I would start. I would start entering these contests from the top down. Now, let's say that, you know, I play these contests, but I want to play more. What do I do? I would start by decreasing effective entrance by like 100. Okay, that didn't do anything. Okay, maybe we go to 100. All right, so that adds a couple of contests. These mini maxes start to become available here. What if I want to add more? Okay, well, then you open up fee a little bit, right? Okay, 5. You wouldn't really lower the top prize. And like the more we enter, your top prize is probably like, you know, getting higher, if anything. But you basically just want to open these up slowly. And you'll first start with effective entrance from like 300, I would say down to 100. And then fee, you would just open up more and more, right? So maybe I go from 5 to 20. Now I get some more single entries and other contests. But yeah, just basically open these up slowly, slowly, slowly. Next question. Can we update lineups on FanDuel on mobile? Yes, you can. It is a little bit tricky. Some major things to be aware of with FanDuel is when you use it, you basically want to use your phone in landscape mode, like turn sideways. Okay. The other thing is you need to decrease the zoom on your browser, like really far. So I've seen some browsers that only allow you to go to like 80% zoom. I've had the most success on browsers that allow you to go down to like 50% zoom, because you basically need to create enough space on the screen for the CSV edit button to appear. They're basically, the way they have their website set up on mobile is if they need to save space, they will hide the CSV edit button, which is one of the most important buttons on the website. So it's like pretty ridiculous, but you basically need to zoom out far enough to make the CSV edit button appear. So turning your phone sideways, zooming out really far are the best ways to update lineups on FanDuel on mobile. And that is specifically mobile through a web browser, not the mobile app FanDuel. All right, next question. I see. I figured it was something along those lines. I just want to make sure I was doing my builds correctly. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. No problem. All right. Looks like we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.